This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That's right. If that music doesn't get you going, man, let me tell you something, man.
I'll tell you what'll get you going is Shannon Sharpe's text messages, right?
Holy smokes, from the top rope. WrestleMania is undefeated.
Can we get those read on the air today?
I'm not sure I would be your co-host if I read those text messages verbatim.
Oh, my God. Shannon Sharpe releasing text messages yesterday may have killed the internet, huh?
I was going to have a chicken strip basket with the white gravy yesterday, and then I changed my mind after I read those text messages. I was like, I think I'll go with street tacos from Costco. No, thank you.
Oh, boy, Shannon Sharp will be on First Take later on today, huh? How about that?
That is a complete mess.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
The allegations come out at, like, what, like right when our show was, it was like 9 o'clock?
Yep.
And then Paul Heyman goes on McAfee show and just lets everything rip. If you don't know who Paul Heyman is, he is an ambassador slash creator of content slash WWE, ECW sort of like legend hype guy, right? He's like there. He normally is paired with somebody who's not good on a microphone and he just promotes. So he did Brock Lesnar for a while.
Okay.
Like here's this machine of a guy in Brock Lesnar, terrible on the microphone, pair him with Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There you go.
So then he goes on McAfee show and just rips everything left from right, top to bottom. He's like, I really don't want to go on ESPN. Well, we need you to do this. All right, I'll do this one time. You'll never do it again? You'll realize in a second why I'll never be invited back on ESPN again. So that was yesterday.
Charles Barkley's taking notes. How do I get out of doing these shows?
No doubt, man. And then not only that, you have then the released messages that Shannon Sharpe's like, okay, so if I'm going to get charged with this, here's what actually was said to me from no longer Jane Doe, full name, and a series of texts that I will not read on the air because nobody needs to hear that. You can read those if you'd like. It's also just a waste of your time.
Yep.
And then I didn't know if I'd been in the garage for too long, and if I had been, I was watching something that I didn't know really existed, an interview of twins.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and he
was coming back down towards us,
and he goes, run, he's got a gun. Our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, mum, where's mum? And poor mum was stuck up there, but apparently our brave mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you. She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
And mum distracting him to make him look the other way. And he looked the other way. And mum ran into the bush
behind the fence.
That's right.
And the guy goes to her, I'll find you and I'll shoot you.
I've never seen anything like that in my entire life before. I don't know what that was.
I thought I was getting trolled. I'm like, and yes, your radio is working fine. Yes, I promise you on the FM dial.
Yes.
They are literally talking in unison about the exact same thing, not messing with the reporter.
I just don't know how you can do that. Yeah, I mean, unless you had a... it was almost like they were reading really off of cue cards. It was like, it was so bizarre. And they're dressed identical too.
They're identical twins.
Which made it even good. And it was like one of those things yesterday where like my phone just kept pinging and it's like every other person is sending this video of these twins
absolutely nuts.
Standing out there interviewing or being interviewed by some, you know, TV station in Australia saying the exact, I've never seen anything in my life quite like that. Like, I'm like, what is this fake? Is this
it's real.
Sometimes, you know, you mess up the tape or something like that. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, no, this is real. These are people actually talking about this incident that took place in Australia. And it was everywhere yesterday. Like everybody was talking about this interview from these like older twins, adult twins down in Australia. And if you're an adult twin and you're still dressing alike, that's kind of weird too. I think it's a little weird, right?
Yeah. The whole thing was fascinating.
From the Missouri side, what the blank am I hearing? And then from the Kansas side in all caps, why? Like, I don't know, man. Like, same. Yes. Like, I was
that and Shannon Sharpe are what broke the internet yesterday, right?
Pretty much.
And seriously.
Nico Harrison.
And Nico Harrison, we could do 4 hours on that out of touch individual. I mean, my God. I don't know that we've heard a lot of dumb things covering sports and being around sports, like players and coaches and GMs and everybody. They say some dumb stuff every once in a while. Nico Harrison is running away with the dumbness meter of saying the dumbest possible things you could ever say in a position that he's in as the general manager of a team. I mean, I've never heard somebody so ignorant in my entire life with some of these comments that he's saying. I'm not even an NBA fan, and I know more about the pulse of the Dallas Mavericks than the guy who was the general manager of that team. I'd rather have those twins running the team.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet.
That's all I thought whenever I heard Nico Collins say what he said about Luka.
Is it Nico Collins or Nico Harrison?
Nico Harrison.
Nico Harrison. Who is Nico Collins? Why do I know that?
Chiefs player.
Chiefs wide receiver. Okay.
No, he's a Texans wide receiver.
There you go. Oh, that's right. Yes.
He's a stud.
Yeah. Yes.
Nico Harrison.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet.
Yes, you did, Percy. Yep, they told you everything you need to know before you did it.
I didn't know fire was hot.
Yeah. I didn't know he was. Here's the audio.
Didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. Huh. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage.
Somebody trusted their organization.
We weren't
this
able
guy.
To do that, so it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
So then that made TNT must-see television.
Is that my camera right there?
Okay, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, man, I consider you a friend of mine.
The way he's sucking the cheek.
Nico Harrison. I consider you a friend of mine. I wish you nothing but the best. I thought you did a good job last year with the Mavs. And obviously, whatever happened this year didn't work out. Man, don't do no more press conferences. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I really don't. Like, I got sympathy and love for you, but I have zero idea what you're trying to do. This war is over, brother. You taking the L. I hope you keep your job. I hope that team get healthy. But, man, don't do any more interviews. Please don't.
No, please do. No. I need more from this guy. I definitely do. I need more from this guy.
Don't kick him when he's down.
The greatest player maybe at currently in the NBA, right? Maybe you can debate that all you want. One of the greatest, right? The number one jersey seller in the NBA at this point in time. I didn't realize how important one of the greatest players in the league is to my fans. Like, that would be Brett Veach saying we're trading Patrick Mahomes, and then 2 weeks later going, we just didn't realize how important Patrick was. Brett, everybody's got their hair cut like the gentleman, and everybody's wearing a 15 jersey. Yeah, we just thought it was a fad. Or it would be like JJ saying, you know what, we've traded Bobby Witt Jr., people losing their minds, and JJ going, we just didn't realize how important he was to the fan base. Oh, you mean the only guy that the organization has ever signed? Like, as a young player and kept them here forever, you didn't realize how important that guy was? Like, how stupid are people? Like, oh my God. It's like when people say, I couldn't do those jobs, I laugh at them because you've got nitwits like that running an organization.
Yeah, it just fits the par for the course for selling a team.
Oh, you're in now on that, aren't you?
Oh, Mac and I already had the conversation this morning. We're like, we're all in.
I was never out on it. I don't think it's
were. Okay.
No, that's what's happening.
Because, it's clear as day. I mean, when I strapped on that tinfoil hat and told you, oh, they're selling the team, you know, because of the gambling thing down in Texas. If you don't know, it's owned by a gambling company, the Mavericks are. They've been trying to get gambling passed in Texas for about a decade. They can't get it done for at least two more years now. This group owns the Sands Casino. There's talk of an NBA team going to Las Vegas and building their own arena. You've got a casino magnate, however you want to say it, that owns one of your teams. They're trying to get to Las Vegas. That's major league right there.
I mean, you think about the dominoes have to fall. Lose a superstar, which equals lose the fan base, which the year prior you sold the team from its original owner. Now everybody hates you.
And you're losing your sponsors, too.
You're going to fire your GM. Well, now you can go hire anybody you want. Because you fire GM after he does everything that you wanted to do. Because I thought they did make a good point on that TNT pregame show where he was like, I think it was Kenny Smith who's like, yeah, he's one of my good friends. I talked to him literally the day after the trade happened. He's like, this is something that like that position of that power you have to do. You have to like take the bullets. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. And then what's the ownership do? Hey, thanks for doing all that, for being our, you know, Teflon vest. You're gone. We'll fire you. That'll make us, you know, look like we actually care.
Right.
And then in the middle of the night, we're going to go somewhere else.
So think about how many bullets, you know, that Dayton Moore took for the Glass family over the years. You know, when they wouldn't open the checkbooks and sign guys and everybody's blaming Dayton for this or Dayton for that or whatnot. That guy stood up there and said, it's all on me, right? That's what you have to do as a general manager. You hope you get a nice check on the way out the door because that's the ultimate payback. People go like, what's in it for him to do all that? A huge ass check when they fire him, right?
He'll get like, a buyout, go away for a little bit, and then he'll be like a minor minor executive. He'll never have that job again because he'll never be able to escape.
Well, you can't sell that to a fan base. You just can't.
Have gotten that buyout anyways?
Probably a bigger buyout, you know, probably a little bit more money on top of that. But there's no saying that he was going to be fired after this season. If you don't trade Luka, you're not going to get fired. So
he'll never be a GM again.
So, but he's got a check to walk away. Or like think of like Mike Budenholzer out
but
there.
But he'll be like a minor exec. Like he'll be somebody that's like an understudy.
Who the hell cares, man? Right. Like I'll tell you, the dream job is to get a check that guy's going to get and disappear. Like Mike Budenholzer for Phoenix. Guy signed a 5-year contract. Coach 1 year is getting 4 years to do nothing.
No, that's awesome.
That's the way to go, man.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet.
Like it showed you that it's supposed to be wet.
Yeah, but if you're that guy, you get a check, you go away, you never have to work a day again in your life. It's fantastic. I mean, it's overrated to go run these teams. You're never going to do anything right. The fans hate you all the time unless you win a championship. I mean, take the check and go. That guy's living the dream right now.
Yeah. That guy literally, I don't know if he's living
it. I disagree completely with that.
If somebody would have told me, like, this is how you get paid, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't know.
You got to do what you got to do. Nobody else is looking out for you, man. So you got to take that check. You got to run. I think it's a dream job.
GM of one of the biggest franchises in sports.
Yeah, but those jobs, especially in the NBA, as we saw, you know, Budenholzer, the head coach. How many head coaches were fired after leading their teams to the playoffs?
You know better than I do. GM probably good through three head coach spans usually.
See, I was going to say 3 years for a GM in the NBA. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking like
I'm saying generic sports wise, GM way longer lifespan than a head coach.
GM comes in, you hire your first coach. If he fails, you get your second coach. You don't get a third coach.
Fair.
You don't get a third coach. If your first two coaches that you've hired have failed, you do not get a third coach. Take the check.
There are anomalies how that does work though, because if your first coach fails because it's an old regime, that's a pass. If your second coach is successful and they move on and that's out of your control, you get a third. And if that guy doesn't work, then you are.
Well, the first one isn't yours. Yeah, but the first one wasn't yours, so you inherited that guy. Yeah. You got the second coach. He went on. But usually if you're a GM, you get two coaching hires. Like if they don't work out, you're gone.
Like if Andy retired and then Veach was still the GM, which I assume he probably will be, and that coach doesn't work. Does he get another one?
Yeah, he gets one more.
Okay.
Yeah, you get one more. Absolutely. Gotcha. And then you're fired after that. Yeah, I mean, you only get a certain opportunity. You know, it's certain general managers who do other things get more of a leash. You know, like Carl Peterson ran the entire organization. He got a couple of coaches out of that deal, right?
Yeah.
Same with Dayton Moore. You know, he got a couple of managers out of that type of deal. So it just depends on who you are and what you do for an organization. But I'm thinking a nondescript NBA guy who nobody knew of until he traded Luka is probably going to get, you know, I don't even know who's the coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Rick Adelman? I mean, who coaches that team? Don Nelson? Like, does he get the opportunity to hire the next guy after that? I don't know. Is Don Nelson dead?
I got a feeling he's gone.
No, I think he's in Hawaii smoking weed.
I do know he's doing that.
Yeah, no. I honest to God think like Don Nelson is sitting in a hut in Hawaii smoking the hell out of some ganja.
No, his weed's called
eating
Nelly
pineapple.
Kush. I'm like dead serious.
You know, it is. You're right. Yeah. Somebody went over there recently and did this big story on Don Nelson. I forget who it was. I think it was during COVID or soon after COVID. And he's just walking around, man, in flip-flops. Like, that guy's living the life.
Yeah. Mitch Holt has joined us yesterday in the studio. If you missed it, download the app. You can check it out for the full interview. But he did give us a honey spot in the draft. We'll address that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Don't forget, you're 2 days away from the Landing and Liberty's draft party, the Fans draft party, this Thursday, April 24th, starting at 6 p.m. Should be a fun time. Bink, who will join us here in about 25 minutes, who he's just getting more and more pissed because picks are getting told they'll be where they're going to be selected. If you missed it, Cam Ward has been told by the Tennessee Titans that he's going to be the number one overall pick on Thursday.
Has that been official? He's been told by the Titans already that he's... I don't know
if it's beneficial.
Yeah.
But it's official.
It's official. Okay.
According to Adam Schefter.
I don't know if it's beneficial either, because the one rumor that I saw yesterday that I thought was really good was that the potential of trading Brock Purdy to the Tennessee Titans yesterday kind of picked up a little bit of steam. I thought was coming out, for whatever reason, coming out of Minnesota, this rumor started. Mm. And I'm like, I'm in on that one. I'd rather take Brock Purdy than draft Cam Ward. That's just where I am on quarterbacks. I'm always very skittish about the college quarterback. Obviously, Mahomes is a win. But if you're the Tennessee Titans and you're not sure if Cam Ward is really him, then is Brock Purdy the answer? I would think maybe Brock Purdy could be a better avenue for the Tennessee Titans.
No, but I kid. It's not official.
Okay.
It's what everybody thinks. So that's why we bring up the draft, but it's from parody accounts and all that sort of stuff from like Adam Schefter or whatever they want to call
it. Yeah.
But no, Thursday, 24th of April, this Thursday, landing in Liberty. The cash prize is $965 available again, plus an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet. 1 point for player drafted. So Cam Ward, Tennessee Titans, you're welcome.
Yep. Or there's a trade.
Yeah. You get 1 point or 3 points if you get the right player on the right team. Your sheet must be turned in prior to the first pick on the clock, and the whole entire fan staff will be in attendance for that night at the Landing in Liberty. So make sure you come out. Get the Big Bob's Bavarian Pretzel, $9.65. The Ben Maller Chicken Fingers, which I'll devour myself. Fasting until Thursday so I can eat seven of them.
There you go.
I'm kidding. But no, Mitch Holtis was on the show yesterday, and he gave us some insight about, like, you know, the draft. He brought in his draft Bible. The thing is the biggest book I've ever seen in my life, and I've literally read every single Game of Thrones book together, all of them stacked together.
I mean, that's huge, yeah.
As what that is. But, no, Mitch had something to say where, you know, he talks about, like, the draft, and, you know, he likes this guy out of William & Mary.
But my guy is Charles Grant of William & Mary.
Charles Grant.
All right. William & Mary. His length, 34 7/8. You watch his video. Ooh. He is Trey Smith playing tackle because he takes no prisoners. He wipes people out. You're going, well, wait a minute. He's playing Wofford and, you know, who's he playing?
Liberty, I don't care. Yeah, right.
In a high school wrestler, which is a big deal to me because it's a big deal to our staff. If you look at high school wrestlers, great high school wrestlers, Creed Humphrey comes to mind here. That becomes such a big part of playing on the offensive and defensive lines. Mm. The use of leverage, quickness, hand placement, move, counter move. And so this guy was an awesome high school wrestler. He stayed at William & Mary. He is a bit of a dinosaur because I think these guys are, you're not going to be able to find these guys at FCS anymore. They're all getting poached by NIL. But if you go watch his video, you're going, if you're going to take a developmental guy, you take this guy. I love it. Now, his negatives are punch quickness. He plays in a zone-heavy scheme. We'll play some zone, but not a lot. You know, we're doing a lot of power O, man blocking, double team and stuff. And then you have to be an awesome pass blocker. But to me, if you want my sneaky, if perfect world, I take Alfred Collins at any one of these picks on the defensive side. But offensively, I love Charles Grant and William & Mary.
So he likes that kid out of William & Mary. But if he's in the honey spot, which he describes here.
Well, the honey spot to me is actually those picks 63, 66, and 95. And I think Brett Veach alluded to it the other day in his presser. After pick 20-ish, from 21 to 100, you got a chance to get some really good players. And I mean starters, potential pro bowlers, all pro guys.
So you add those two together. He likes the kid out of William & Mary because he's strong. He's not like a dinosaur, because normally these guys get poached for NIL or transfer portals. And then he says the honey spot is like that, those two picks in the third and that fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Those last three inside the top 100.
Well, that's where they've done a really nice job, I think, in the Brett Veach era of going out and getting guys kind of in those middle rounds. As we talked about yesterday, we don't have first round picks here in Kansas City because, I don't know, we've traded them for a quarterback and, you know, some other things over the years. They just don't have many first round draft picks. But if you're talking those picks, like, what did he say, 21 through 100, you start to look at who the Chiefs acquired at some of those spots. Rashee Rice, number 55 overall. You look at George Karloftis. He was number 30. 21 overall that same year was Trent McDuffie. So this team has gotten some really good players in that spot. Brian Cook, one of their safeties, coming in at number 62. Nick Bolton, 58th overall. Creed Humphrey, 63 overall. You know, you look at Willie Gay Jr., 63 overall. Juan Thornhill, 63 overall. You're seeing a pattern here. Chiefs always seemingly picking at 63, and then you go back to, you know, Derek Nnadi at pick 75. I mean, there's some nice picks. Colin Saunders, Juan Thornhill, all of these guys coming in that kind of that honey spot for the Kansas City Chiefs, and what, you know, Mitch is looking at is kind of that area where they need to go dominate and get a lot of guys, and they've done that in the past. And so if you were to say to Brett Veach, I don't know, your sweet spot is the area that you've dominated in for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, that's a pretty good spot in which to be. And so I'm excited about that, because while this draft isn't top heavy and there's not a lot of dudes that you really know because the quarterback class is very mid at best in this draft, that 21 to 100 has got a lot of players in it, a lot of defensive linemen in it. And Brett Veach has three picks from 21, right? 21 to 100, or four picks, I guess, from 21 to 100, because you count that first round pick in there. He's got the opportunity to do some damage. I mean, Brett Veach may come out swinging a big time bat with those picks, or he may trade them all and then get somebody else in return.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. You're right. Those two picks stacked together, that's an asset. You know, that could be used to get two awesome players like we've seen. You mentioned Creed Humphrey being one of those guys, too, in that spot that he's gotten. Or it could be, hey, I want to move up a little bit. I want to gain some more. Here's two of these nice picks in the honey hole, honey spot.
Right.
However you want to put it. And it could be awesome. Yeah,
I think also, like, if you were going to tell me you could trade these picks for players that are currently in the NFL, now this is where I differ from the quarterback. I would go out and get a proven quarterback. But if I'm Brett Veach, your success has been in the draft. These are valuable picks. If I'm them, unless you're moving up for somebody in the draft and you need to kind of package one of those picks to jump up in the first round because there's somebody there that you really, really want and covet, and that's fine. I agree with that. But like trading them for a current NFL player, I think Brett Veach does a better job of drafting guys, and especially kind of where they are with the salary cap. You need a lot of these mid-round picks to get onto your roster, and a lot of these mid-round picks to hit, because that's where you're going to save some dough paying these guys these rookie salaries and getting great production out of them, like you did with an Isaiah Pacheco. Pound for pound, other than Patrick Mahomes, dollar for dollar, Isaiah Pacheco is probably your best value on the team right now, because he's making nothing and produces at such a high rate for you.
Yeah, I think that when you look at, because obviously we can all probably agree this is the most least exciting draft that we've had for quite some time as a Chiefs, you know, follower or fan, or, you know, somebody that's really diving into this team consistently. I don't, you know, like necessarily I wouldn't be, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they trade up, if they trade back, if, because I could see them just getting out of the first round. I really could, too.
Yeah.
Because then you make that honey hole even more ripe, because then you're getting, you know, what, maybe 2-3 picks in the second round, 2 picks in the third round, a pick in the fourth. Like, then you're really kind of putting your entire future in those 4 or 5 picks. Because as Mitch told us yesterday, they don't necessarily draft for, because of the luxury they had. And I asked him, I was like, is it arrogance to say, like, when people are like, well, who are they going to draft? Like, nobody for this year.
Right.
And it's like, that's why that Simmons kid, I think, is he from Ohio State? Is that right?
That's an interesting one that I want to talk to Binkley about. I'm intrigued by him, man.
Because it fits. So it doesn't, and it does fit a couple of theories, because Veach has been notably known to say Big Ten players are off the board for him.
Especially Ohio State players, right?
And
my alma mater's cheating.
So you put that into the universe of existence, and then you talk about what Mitch said yesterday about how it's not arrogance, Dusty. It's actually a good point that they don't draft necessarily for, you know, this year's team, because they're already set. They told you what they were doing. They brought back Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown. This is the team they're rolling with. We found out yesterday, right? Am I wrong? That Andy Reid said in a press conference, they are going to run with Kingsley Suamataia and Frank Caliendo's son, Mike, at left tackle to see who can win out the job.
The left guard.
At left guard.
Yeah.
So there's your left guard answer. Left tackle.
We've got a left tackle. I'm getting tired of people saying we don't have a left tackle here, and the Chiefs have. They signed Jalen Moore this offseason, right? Did we miss that?
It happened.
It did happen. And so little by little, they're letting us know, because left guard is officially now a competition between two guys. We know what left guard is going to be. Left tackle, as you mentioned, Moore was signed. Trent Williams is backup in San Francisco, who was decent as a backup, small sample size, like 6 games.
But the Chiefs gave him decent enough money for a first round or for a signing in the free agent market. You know?
So then, I don't know what the contract was. Was it 2 years?
With an out after the first year, I think.
Yes. So then if you are not drafting for this year and you have the availability to pick this guy at left tackle and you believe he is the cream of the crop at that position, just not ready to go this year, then maybe that does make sense.
Well, and it does. And I was kind of looking at it yesterday, and I even, you know, reached out to Binkley about it, and we'll get his take coming up in about 15 minutes, what he thinks. But if you don't know, the Simmons kid from Ohio State is an offensive tackle. He's really, really good, but he's injured. He's got a knee injury, right? And so he can't play, they're saying, maybe football activities until August. And I thought about that. I'm like, God, you don't need this guy to come in and play right away. You've got, you know, Jalen Moore that you went out and signed this offseason. And so if you can draft a guy that's a first round talent, like a legit first round talent, one of those top 20 guys, and he falls because of injury, aka Trey Smith falling to the sixth round, this Simmons kid from Ohio State would probably not make it past the first round if he continues to fall. But if he's there at number 31, that kind of, to me, I like that pick. And I could be totally wrong on that one. And Binkley may have a completely different take about it when we talk to him. And Matt McMullen of Chiefs.com will be in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about it as well with us. I don't know, guys, what do you think? Would you be willing to take that kid at 31, knowing he's not going to be ready to August, but also knowing in the back of your mind, you're probably not going to need him for an entire calendar year, and he can spend this whole year learning that left tackle position, and then you slide him in, and then next year you've got a first-round talent potentially starting at left tackle. I think everything about that makes a lot of sense. The only thing I don't know is the medicals, and I'm not going to pretend I'm some doctor on the internet and go on radio shows and talk about injuries that I don't know about, but from the situation that you know looks like pretty cool, man. Like that's the kind of move I would make if you're the Chiefs. Like, you don't have to go out and hit a home run ever in the first round, and you got an opportunity to take a guy in the first round that could potentially be your long-term answer, but nobody wants him because he's got a banged up knee, but will be ready by August. What the hell, right?
I'm totally in on that. I couldn't agree more, Bob, because if it doesn't work, you're right. You have four more years of a first round talent at left tackle, which is the spot for the last 4 years or so that we've all gone every year. Well, all right, left tackle. Let's hope Orlando Brown, or let's hope this guy works out. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we don't know what Jalen Moore's going to do. I mean, what if we get to week 10, Jalen Moore hasn't been good? Then, okay, you got this first round talent who's now ready. He's healed up. He's ready to go. Let's put him in. And Jalen Moore, worst comes to worst, he's a guy who can play every position pretty much besides center on the offensive line, who you sign, and great. All right, he's a depth piece.
So let me ask you guys this. Is there going to be more patience with the left tackle or more patience with all these outfielders not being able to hit? You know what I'm saying? Like, immediately we were on top of these outfielders. Jalen Moore is not going to stand a chance here in Kansas City, is he? Like opening night, Friday night in Brazil against the Chargers, he gets beat, you know, by whoever. In the first quarter, and Patrick Mahomes gets sacked. That guy's never going to recover because it's the first game of the year. It's the most scrutinized position. It's the position that let you down in the Super Bowl. Everybody's going to be focused on that position. Like, I kind of feel bad for Jalen Moore. I feel like he's a guy that literally is out there on an island, but also is a guy that's going to be so over scrutinized that he's never going to stand a chance here to get it right. So I ask you, are people going to have more patience with him or more patience with MJ Melendez?
Well, you don't have to worry about MJ's.
Right. Or Hunter Renfrow, whatever, you know, slappy that they have out there trying to hit a baseball, right? Are we going to have more patience with those guys, or are we going to have more patience with Jalen Moore? Because I just feel like Jalen Moore makes that first mistake and it is over for him, because he's got to cure all the ills that have been at the left tackle position for the last couple of years.
So I just want to clear the air.
Yeah.
I don't think nobody cares about the draft, because we got a text. No, this is not a boring draft. This draft determines if it really is the last dance or not. Dusty undermines how much the draft means to the fan base. I'm not undermining anything. I'm just telling you, when I say it's boring, it's because you don't need a significant need. You're not out there drafting a future quarterback. You're not out there trying to draft a wide receiver. I think this is the last dance for Travis Kelce. I don't think this is the last dance for the team.
Oh, yeah. This has nothing to do with the team being the last dance.
You know, the text message just continues. Dusty, the last draft each hit, all are coming up on extensions. And, you know, are the shape of the team going to change? Quit downplaying the draft because you think nobody cares. Again, I don't think nobody cares. I'm just telling you, like, I have talk to my friends, small group, right? Like 8 people. And I said, how excited are you about for the draft? Like, eh, I'll have it on. Like, I'm going to see. Cause like that, we're not Jacksonville. We're not Indianapolis. We're not the Raiders. We're not a team drafting a guy that's going to reshape the franchise. This is not the last dance for the team. Mahomes is 30 years old. Your two wide receivers are on year 2 and year 3. And they're young. Mm-hmm. Your tight
one
end
may be suspended for the first few
correct.
Years.
Your tight end is going to be leaving.
Right.
But that's his last dance. This is not the team's last dance. And those players that you mentioned, Nick Bolton's back, right? He's there. Leo Chenal is part of the draft that you're talking about with Trent McDuffie, who I still believe will get signed once the Trey Smith ordeal is over.
Yeah, that's got to be finished before anything else gets taken place. Yeah.
Trey's going to be back. Creed's here forever. You're probably going to sign Trent McDuffie. You're going to sign, I maybe not Leo Chenal, because he might be like in the Willie Gay situation where it's like, yeah, you might get 5 or 6 more million from somebody else who's willing to overpay you that has a lot of salary. But to think that the last dance is over and to think that nobody cares about the draft is not what I'm saying. Everyone is tuned into the draft. I'm excited for the draft. I just don't think it's an exciting draft for one Kansas City Chiefs player, because, yeah, you might be diving into Simmons or to where Shadour is going to go, and again, that would debunk your theory that it's an exciting draft for the Chiefs. You're more excited for the draft itself. I'm not downplaying the draft at all. I think it is a very fun night. But for me as a Chiefs fan and somebody who follows this team, I'm okay waking up the next morning and being like, oh, they traded out of the draft. Okay, cool.
I like the fact that our draft picks aren't that exciting. That means we're doing good on the field, right? Like, if you're excited about the draft, it's because your team was 2-15 and you're picking number one or you're picking number two. Right. Or if you're a Giant fan, you just want to get it over with so they can screw this one up and move on to a new regime. Same with the Jets. You know how it works. But like, you're picking number one. When we were picking number one, that was an exciting draft. I mean, we were the number one pick that year in 2013. Now, obviously, the players are kind of like they are today. There was no standout quarterback at the top of the draft.
Eric Fisher.
The Chiefs took Eric Fisher and became a mainstay at left tackle and was a mainstay for your first run at the Super Bowl. Without Eric Fisher, who knows where we are on that offensive line. He's the last good left tackle that we had. But I think it's fine to sit here and say there's not a lot of excitement for the Chiefs in this draft. There's a lot of building that can be done in this draft. But I think excitement is when you have the number one, number two, number three, number four, number five pick, and you're getting ready to pick that quarterback. You know, yeah.
If you're in the top 10, you're on the edge of your
seat. But you're also a bad football team, and you're probably right. Pissed at your franchise anyway, unless you traded it.
Which is why the draft's exciting, because you're trying to go from bad to new beginnings.
You're trying to exactly, and you should be more excited. Like when the Chiefs had the number one pick in 2013, they also had a new coach, a new general manager, right. A new regime. It was all new, and the excitement was there. If you're picking in the top 10 and it's the same coach and the same regime, are you excited or are you looking at it going, God, I hope they don't screw this one up again, because there is that. So there's different levels of excitement. I think this is a draft to kind of restock your team, which is what every draft is going to be. And the last dance, stop using that term, whoever's coming up with that, because as long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are here, there is no last dance. This party's going well into the night, man.
Real quickly, let's get into some Tough Tuesdays or our hot corner during the baseball season. Bob, take it away.
Well, I'm going to go with the draft attendance. I heard that they're expecting 250,000 people.
How many people live in Lambeau?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know how many people live in Green Bay, but the number, they have 4,600 hotel rooms in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
446?
4,600 hotel rooms in Green Bay, Wisconsin, okay? Heard the numbers this morning.
How many RPOs are there out there?
A lot, right? So they have 4,600 hotel rooms. Figure max four people to a room. You're talking about 16,000 people, right? Where are the rest of them staying?
Yikes.
Where are the rest of the people staying?
Wow.
And who goes four to a hotel room unless you're like us on our baseball trip and we're cheap? But like, where are all these people staying? Because Milwaukee's almost 2 hours away from Green Bay, so it's not like you're going to get tanked on your light beer and cheese curds and drive down the interstate to get to Milwaukee. But you're expecting 250,000 people to go to this draft, and the town can house 16,000. Something's not right with these numbers. We're lying about these draft numbers of all these people that are showing up. 250,000 people. How many live in Green Bay?
Little over 105,000.
Okay. So you're
doubling
the population and then some, and only have room to house like 16,000 people roughly. If you're doing four to a hotel room, these numbers are fake.
Somebody needs to call Tombo Dad.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
We'll leave the light on for you.
I mean, I just, the numbers don't add up here. The numbers do, because you're counting on every single person in Green Bay to be there.
Yep.
Double that and then some, and then house them. I ain't buying what the NFL's peddling on that.
No, that's a good point, especially like you think B&Bs. Well, okay, well, are there enough houses for that? Where are the other people living who live there?
Right, like, where are they, like, do they not go to work? Yeah, I mean, because the draft here doesn't mean your life stops, right?
The math is not mathing.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet.
That's a tough Tuesday for Nico as well. I would say the New York Knicks lost a close game to the Pistons at home.
Front of Timotei.
Front of Timotei.
A lot of
Chalamet.
Stars at the game in New York.
A lot of stars. It's kind of fun watching Knicks games for that reason.
I love to compare the stars at the Knicks games compared to the stars at the L.A. Lakers games.
Yeah, it's awesome. No,
which is bigger?
I think New York, really? Yeah. I don't know. Okay, that's fair. I feel like L.A. is probably bigger in the boxes.
Older Hollywood in L.A., younger Hollywood in New York.
Yeah, you got Chalamet and stuff like that.
Spike Lee. I mean, Susie Esselman's been there. Stiller.
Spike Lee is the Larry David of the Knicks.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, especially he's graying up too. But yeah, a tough loss for the Knicks last night.
Hate to see it. Jalen Brunson.
flopping city.
But let's just focus on LeBron flopping.
Exactly.
My tough Tuesday is the Colorado Rockies. They are the worst baseball team in the league. They come to Kansas City this week, and they're going to make the worst offense look really, really good.
I hope so.
Please.
And that's got to be bad for your franchise because they're going to come to this game and be like, oh, we're playing the Royals? Okay, at least not that tough. 6-0 tonight.
No, the Rockies shouldn't look at anybody and say they shouldn't be tough. The Rockies are an abysmal abomination of an organization with an owner that doesn't want to win.
Yeah, they're going to look really bad when they come into Kansas City with a team that ranks 30th in runs and can't hit themselves out of a wet paper sack. Tonight, Royals are going to absolutely crush the Rockies. I'm speaking into existence. Ooh. They're going to sweep the Rockies. They're going to win 4 of their next 5, and they're going to get everybody back in their seats. And by this time next week, they're going to be 500.
I know that I'm hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Well, they got to do it. There's no excuse. Like, if you don't sweep the Colorado Rockies, sorry, man. Like, you got to take care of business.
Do you know why I pulled you over? I ran red light, ran through that stop sign, didn't go through the yield sign, looked through the and speeding. Coming up next, the other guy that loves the draft, not Chris Unicero, but Jay Binkley. He joins us on the other side to talk about a little bit of futureness in the Kansas City Chiefs roster here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
You better believe it. The draft is 2 days away. And that means Jay Binkley is 2 sleeps away until his absolute prize day of the year. And don't forget, all NFL draft-related interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, and the Salvation Army. Binkley, trade back or trade up? That is the question to start off this day's questionnaires of the draft.
Well, I think trading back would be the best option. I just don't know if the value would be there. That's the thing. This draft is so weak as far as talent is concerned. I just don't know what you could get by trading back. It'd certainly be beneficial. I'm all for doing that if there's not an identifiable person that says you must go and grab certain player, because I think certain players can be grabbed in the hot zone, as Brett Veach likes to call it, or the honey well, whatever you want to call it, in the second, third round. That's where he does his damage. So I'm all for trading back.
Okay, so trading back makes a lot of sense, but who's a player that you would say, okay, I would trade up for him because he's starting to drop a little bit?
You know, I think if one of the receivers like Tetterell McMillan or Luther Burden starts sliding back, teams will be like, you know what, we really like this guy. We had a first-round grade on this guy all season long. It's a dynamic playmaker that it could help this team. It's not going to be a quarterback. Like, you would hope it would be a quarterback that can move up here. I mean, I'm seeing stuff like reports like, you know, people would think, there was one executive that says Cam Ward would be the 7th quarterback in his grading system last year. I mean, it's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It does suck that there's no, because last year, you got to look at it, guys. You know, 8 offensive linemen tied the record in the first round since 2008. 7 receivers in the first round, tying the record from 2004. 6 quarterbacks in the top 12 marking or tying that 1983. All these things help the Chiefs. When all these teams are going out and getting these positions, except for wide receiver, because the Chiefs needed receiver last year, but those are just extra draft spots that were taken up by players the Chiefs didn't really need last season. So, man, all that was beneficial. But I'm all for a good trade back if you have the right partner. I would like to think that the Ravens that you see and the Bills that you see, can the Chiefs trade up? I think the Rams remain a viable trade up to 26 if that's what they decide to do. But there's a lot of teams that need to learn when Brett Veach calls, you don't take that call. But they still do. It's like that old girlfriend, right?
Mm.
You keep going. It's like the Buffalo Bills, like that old spurned girlfriend. And every time the Chiefs call, it's like, hey, baby, how you doing? Like, they bite into it, and they do it. I mean, the Bills are like that old girlfriend the Chiefs have that are always going to take their call, which is crazy.
I was asking about a position the Chiefs would trade up for, Jay.
I don't think there is a position the Chiefs would trade up for. I know that the hot topic right now is offensive linemen.
Yeah.
If they would trade up and get their guy. I'm not buying it. I think it's a lot of smoke. I think people assume that's what the Chiefs need. If they watched the Super Bowl last year and the offensive line and Patrick Mahomes running for his life, that's an easy one. I think for a lot of people, says the Chiefs need a lineman. The problem is, he's not out there. And unless they want to trade up and have a Mahomes-like trade up to top 10, I think even getting to top 13 to 15 to get that lineman. I still can't guarantee that lineman exists that can be a day one starter, except for Armon Mimbu out of Missouri, but he's on the right side. It's a guy you're going to play on the right side. I just don't see that pure identifiable tackle, because let me tell you this. If they were that good, teams in the NFL are starved for several positions. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, and corner. And if those positions
weak
are really
side linebacker, too, I think.
In those, what's that?
Not weak side linebacker?
If they can get to the quarterback, I mean, if you can't get to the quarterback, they're not really that interested in getting you in the top 10 to 15. Mm. But if these players are really out there and is identifiable, these could be game changers for your team. They're not going to get it, man. There's no reason to go up there and get it. And I look at these linemen and think, is there really a guy that you'd sacrifice or mortgage your future? He doesn't exist in this draft, I don't think.
What about Jay Binkley, Josh Simmons, if he starts falling? I know the injury stuff. Is that a guy you would take at 31 if he's sitting there?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think the Chiefs would either, to be honest with you. I mean, here's the one thing about it. You know, Josh Simmons, he had that patellar injury last year. Not going to be ready till training camp. I get it. You throw a red shirt. Are the Chiefs really in a position to redshirt any players? I don't think so. I think they need players to help this team now. And the matter of fact, he's got 33-inch arms. And I know that, you know, it's a joy. You look at arm like, no, it is big. Because Andy Reid, mandatory tackle, has been 34-and-a-quarter-inch length of arms for the tackle. It's why he hesitated so long to move Tooney out there. And it came to fruition with his short arms when he got to the Super Bowl. Sure, there were certain games that he was viable, and he's so talented and good. But that really started to show up towards later in the year. Now, Jalen Moore doesn't have 34-inch arms, like 33 3/8, something like that. He's not quite there, but he's been in the NFL. So he's, you know, has that track record, at least of 12 starts in the NFL, being behind Trent Williams. So I think they had more faith in Jalen Moore going forward. But Josh Simmons in 33-inch arms, I think his arms are going to grow anytime soon. So I don't see it. I think the Chiefs need someone to help him on day one.
So they told us yesterday, Andy Reid, it's going to be Kingsley and Caliendo battling out for left guard. Moore's going to be the left tackle. Is that where Jay Binkley believes his team is set on the offensive line?
I think so. I think that I look back to that year they brought in Orlando Brown. They looked at the tackle situation at the end of the first round, and I thought, yeah, we don't like it. And they were right, because all those guys turned out to be guards out of the league or moving to the right side. It's just what they did, but you can find value in the later rounds with certain offensive linemen. They have that track record, Andy Reid, the former offensive line coach, to do that and have these guys materialize. I just don't see the Chiefs in a redshirt type of year. Do you really put a redshirt on a first-round pick, and especially somebody out of Ohio State? I keep seeing this allure. There's a reason why Brett Veach hasn't taken an Ohio State guy. It's not by mystery why he hasn't done it. There's a reason.
Doesn't want to dominate as much as he could, I guess. So
Bob, they're a good college team, but they need some more Bob Severian pretzels.
Yeah, they really do, no doubt. 9:65 at the draft at the landing on Thursday.
All right, Jay. I'm thinking about it. Maybe going to be my first-round pick.
There, we don't have. You're going to be at the landing on Thursday?
I'm going to be there. Yeah,
okay,
I think
good.
Chris and I are going to show up.
Yeah, we're going to draft your menu on Thursday. So whatever
good,
we suggest,
good.
You have to pick whether it's Dusty's, mine, or Max, and you have to order only one of the columns. So you can't order anything else.
And I will.
Okay, good.
I'll be true to the board, because the board speaks.
The board does speak. Who's the board speaking for in Mach 3.0 for you guys?
The board spoke to Derek Harmon. That's who we decided. It was fun getting all your guys' picks, and those will be out later when all the guys made their first-round selections. All of them were good picks. I really like Walter Nolan, that I know you like as well, Bob. And the thing about it is he is an SEC guy, and that is where Brett Veach cut his teeth. We went Derek Harmon in our last mock, and Mac will enjoy this. We went Dylan Sampson in the second round, the running back out of Tennessee. Just didn't want to take a chance of not having a Dylan Sampson at the running back position. It's so premium, so prime. And when the general manager comes out and says that's the best position group, I'm not believing that smoke. I believe that there is a modicum of the truth to that, because Brett Veach does have a few nuggets each and every year that turn out to be 100% true. We've had various draft guys, and they like the running back class too. As a matter of fact, rating it number one. I wouldn't put it number one. I'd still put edge and defensive line up there as number one, but clearly number three. And I would never draft a running back anymore in the first round. But later in the draft, especially starting in the second round, I would. I know the text line was all on me last night. Because, oh, you'd pass on a Barry Sanders. You'd pass on an Earl Campbell. Well, you show me where an Earl Campbell and Barry Sanders are in this draft, and then we'll talk.
No doubt about it, Binkley. We'll see you Thursday night at the Landing Liberty. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. How about that, brother?
All right, my friends. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Jay Binkley there.
Less than 24 hours.
It is?
Well, yeah, 6:45 tomorrow morning. It's less than 24 hours away.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was Jay Binkley for Draft Insight there, brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, and the Salvation Army. Coming up on the other side, we dive into what we heard yesterday from Mitch Holthus. We'll play you a couple of cuts.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
To what he says, and when do you get a running back? He'll tell you if you listen a little bit longer. Hell, listen for an entire day until 10 a.m. You listen to 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was. Come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.